is junk.
The 25-yard line, a terrific scramble from quarterback Reggie Branch. We've seen it all night. He avoided a sack and was able to run for 14 yards on the first play of this possession. Next play was a 4-yard completion and then a run for no gain. We do have an injured Crosby Cougar. It's one of their hogs. This time it's Demetrius Strahan, the junior. And for a junior, that's a big dude out there. He is gingerly making his way off to that far side. Folks, I'd like to give you some promotional information. Tomorrow night, our producer, Tom Tarando, alongside Mike Miller, will be on GRHSIRadio.com live at 6:45 for the LCISD Game of the Week. That's game number one of 2020 in terms of the LCISD Game of the Week. It will be Lamar the Mustangs versus Coach Sean McDowell and the Foster Falcons. So tune in at 6:45, join Tom and Mike. That one should be a good game, at least for a little while. But we're back here, third and six upcoming. A big play defensively for the Horns as they need to get off the field. Branch, straight drops, got three rushers at him, delayed screen, and nothing doing as the Horns get the stop. As it was Deniquez Dunn, the intended target, but Jason, he was 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, he was, and that was good pressure. You know, on a screen pass, you don't mind that sort of jailbreak action, but the defensive linemen and the linebackers were in there so quickly that the Branch just didn't have time to find Dunn for that screen pass. And you said it, Chris, that's a huge stop for this Longhorn defense, much needed. And if they can get the football back here. And again, I would be alert for a fake here. You're in the part of the field where you have to, especially with Dunn back there punting, you need to be aware of.
8:23 to go in the ball game, and Coach Prieto takes a timeout and wants to think about something. We will take the break with him. Fourth down when we come back.
Looking for future leaders we can trust and believe in? Look no further than the high school student athletes right here in Texas. High school sports teach young people how to be effective leaders. It begins by making their grades and being on time for practice. It includes learning to listen, following directions, accepting responsibility, being a good role model. And it's about respect for officials, opponents, the rules, and each other. The result? It transcends sports. It gives us hope for the future. High school sports. There's so much more than just a game. This message presented by the Texas University Interscholastic League and the Texas High School Athletic Directors Association.
We don't have a return man here. And welcome back in. So the Cougars come back out from the timeout. It's Dunn, still the punter, and he's going to – it's a fake. Now he's going to try to scramble. He's on the run, and he will go down short of the line to gain. So right on cue, Jay Ford was on to something. His radar was up, and it was spot on. As, again, your punter is your starting running back and bus driver, Deniquez Dunn, and – second chair of the clarinet or something like that, but he stopped short of the marker, and the Horns take over on downs and plus territory at the Cougar 47.
And that was a good job of tackling, and you could tell that the Horns were ready for a potential fake there. They initially did not have anyone back to field the punt. They were kind of in a safety defensive formation, and a great job of tackling Dunn in space, because if he makes one or two guys miss there, he could have been off to the races.
First and 10. The Horns still in with the power set. Sam. Hyman Jenkins. KJ White trying to bounce it. And he does a great job to stay in bounds and makes another man miss. A nifty 5-yard run.
by K.J. White.
Yeah, K.J. White is a very shifty runner, and he's more of a pure speed-to-the-outside kind of guy. He's not going to lower his shoulder and bowl you over like Hyman Drinkard will, but it's a really nice change of pace. You know, you love to have that sort of thunder and lightning combination, and he's really done a good job when he's been in there tonight.
And you hear a four-minute drive all the time. You don't hear an eight-minute drive, but the Horns would really like a lengthy drive and then pay it off. 5 yards for K.J. on first down. Sam is going to keep it, and he's got a first down. Check it. They're going to mark him back at the 38-yard line as he apparently had a knee down. From this vantage point, it looked like he reached the ball across the line to gain. But good heads-up job by that linesman over there, as we couldn't see his knees were down. It still is 4 yards for your quarterback on the ground. And now you've got third and very short, third and a yard from the Crosby 39. Drinkard back in there. And yeah, they do have the unbalanced line with Brisket on the other end. So effectively 7-0 linemen. Crosby stacks the box. Drinkard, no problem. First down. He's just an instinctive runner. He's essentially expecting someone to be in his face when he gets the ball. So he's expecting to kind of sidestep a defender, and he does so beautifully there and nets his team a first down.
Yeah, and honestly, I think you really had two shots there. You know, third and one, you know, being at the 39-yard line of Crosby, I think that was definitely four-down territory. Drinkard said, if we don't need four downs, I'll get it done on third and one. And, look, the Longhorns would like nothing better than to chew up some clock, but to certainly to end this drive in a touchdown.
Halfway gone in the fourth quarter, under six. Low snap, Sam, deep throw, got Javon, ball's underthrown, but no problem. As 13 goes up the ladder inside the five and a fall to the three.
Great throw by Sam Miller. He did underthrow him a little bit, but, you know, when you overthrow him, he's got no chance at the ball. When you underthrow him, he can go up and get it. And really, I give a lot of credit to the running game for opening that up, Chris. When you soften the defense with that running game, with that pounding with Hyman Drinkard and K.J. White, it gives you man coverage on the outside, and we all know Javon Gibson and man coverage, whether it's, you know, whether it's Demiquez Dunn or anyone else, that's going to be advantage Javon Gibson most of the time.
Play clock under five. Fake a speed sweep, and Drinkard's going nowhere. A little bit of indecision and confusion there as the play clock was down. The motion man was late to get going. Drinkard lined up on the wrong side of Sam. It was 32 yards on the Gibson connection on the previous play. This time they lose 4 yards. That's a big 4 yards here.
Yeah, I don't like slow developing run plays when you're down around the goal line, Chris. I mean, just go with a quick hitter. You know, give the ball to Hyman Drinkard. As you said, he's ready for a defender to be there in the hole. He's got a great ability to sidestep and jump cut.
How about you're at the 3-yard line, you go unbalanced line four times straight ahead. Sam's going quarterback sweep left, looking for a block inside the five, falls to the one, and they'll mark him down inside the 1-yard line. Another tough run by your signal caller, senior quarterback Sam Miller.
And now, Chris, it's third and goal from maybe just inside the 1-yard line. If I'm Coach Caballo, I am going to pound my best running back, Hyman Drinkard, right up the middle behind those big offensive linemen.
I go jet sweep.
Two times if I need to.
And, I'm kidding.
I'm going to nose him over the goal line here.
Seven linemen. Drinkard the back. Sam handles it, and they drop the snap. This time it was a bad snap as it was off to Sam's left and high. That's a huge play because now if you're Coach Caballo, you have to think about kicking the field goal and going up a touchdown. We're 3.5 minutes, and now Coach Prieto is going to take a timeout. So we are at a mesh point in this ball game right here. Coach Cavallo's got a decision to make when we come back.
Question. When you walk into the boardrooms of the most successful companies here in Texas, who do you meet? Answer. Men and women who play high school sports. Education-based high school sports give us more than athletes we can root for. They give us leaders we can depend on. Question: so where will we find tomorrow's leaders? Answer: high school sports.
This message presented by the Texas University Interscholastic League and the Texas High School Athletic Directors Association.
Depend on. Question: so where will we find tomorrow's leaders? Answer: high school sports.
This message presented by the Texas University Interscholastic League and the Texas High School Athletic Directors Association.
Hi fans, I'm Bob Riley from Sight into Sound Radio, and I listen to GRHS iRadio.
Welcome back in, and just as Jason teed up, it is Edwin Avalos from the left hash. It'll be effectively an extra point, a 20-yard field goal to put your team up 7. Good snap, good hold. Avalos' kick is up, and it is good. 3:29 to go in your ballgame. The Horns go up 7. They lead it 31-24. We'll bring you the finale here on GRHS Radio, iRadio, when we come back.
If you're into sports, especially high school sports, then the Fort Bend Herald is for you. The Fort Bend Herald, Fort Bend's oldest newspaper since 1892, covers area high school sports like no other paper around. And for as little as $9 a month, you can have it delivered right to your door 6 days a week. And with every subscription, you have immediate access to the paper's online edition at no extra cost. So if you're into high school sports, the Fort Bend Herald's sports pages are for you. To subscribe, go to fbherald.com, pay online to activate your subscription. You can also begin receiving the Fort Bend Herald by calling 281-342-4474. That's the Fort Bend Herald, Fort Bend's oldest newspaper since 1892.
And welcome back in as Avalos is set to kick the football back to Crosby. The Horns on top, 31-24. Kick is fielded inside the 20. Coming left to right, and will be shoved out of bounds by 38. Nice coverage on the play by Garlson Backers as he gets Monte Wilson out of bounds. And good field position if you're the Horns. That's just the 21-yard line. 3:22 remains in the ballgame.
Yeah,
Horns went 44 yards in 8 plays. Took 3 minutes and 41 seconds. Probably the best thing about that drive was the 3:41. Beg your pardon, 4:41. Branch out the gate. Big gainer, still on his feet. 40. Stutter step at the 45. Breaks a tackle there, still on his feet. Puts his hand down and falls forward to the 48-yard line. That's a 27-yard run to start out this possession.
Yeah, the Longhorn defense has got to find a way to corral Reggie Branch. They're going to get a heavy dose of that. And looks like we've got an injured Longhorn on the play. But
clock stopped with 2:59 to go. You mentioned in the pregame, Jay Ford, that in their final game last year against Huntsville, that Reggie Branch compiled in the neighborhood of 525 total yards, over 300 through the air, 100.5 on the ground. He's got 3 passing touchdowns. He's well over 100 yards rushing. So he is doing the very same thing here tonight. So if you're the Horns, you have to be positive that you've got a touchdown lead here.
Yeah, and the other thing is, look, with 2:59 remaining and with Crosby only having one timeout remaining, any fourth down is going to be a situation where they're going to go for it. So you not only have to get a 3-and-out, you in essence have to get a 4-and-out. You've got to stop them 4 times in a row to get off the field. So it's a tall order for a Longhorn defense that's probably a little tired from chasing Reggie Branch around all night.
Yeah, it's kind of that theory of overtime if you're the second team. Double reverse, ball's on the ground, and the Horns have it. Coach Prieto does some trickeration, and it backfires as Chris Lee wakes up on Christmas morning, and the football's sitting right in front of the big fella, and he pounces on it right at the Cougar 38-yard line.
And to Chris Lee's credit, what I love about what he did there, Chris, is he just pounced on the ball and covered it up. A lot of times those big defensive linemen have delusions of scoring a touchdown, and they try and scoop it up on the run, and how often do they fumble with it, and then the offense ends up getting it back. So
Leon Lett, ring a bell.
great job by Chris Lee to pounce on the football. And now if the Longhorns can get a ball control drive and churn out a couple of first downs on the ground, they can essentially come close to running this clock out.
Yeah, any points here, maybe take a couple minutes off that fourth, or a minute or so off that fourth quarter clock, and this will salt it away. Hyman, left side, and he'll be drugged down, but still able to press forward. First defender there is 22, Anthony Baldwin. That's a tough 2 yards for Drinker.
Yeah, and if you're Sam Miller, you're not snapping the ball outside of 5 seconds on that play clock. You're going to wait, and you're going to eat up as much time as humanly possible with each snap. You want to get a first down. You want to get 3, 4, 5, 6 yards at a time if you can. But what you certainly don't want to do is run out of bounds or throw an incomplete pass or do something like that that essentially gives the Cougars a free timeout.
Should be right around 2 minutes when they snap the ball. Play clock at 3. Miller's got it. He's going to throw. Deep ball to Javon. Coverage is there. And incomplete. And the clock will stop with a minute 57 as the Horns go for the jugular and come up empty.
Yeah, I mean, I understand it. If you can catch them napping and you can get the kill shot there to Javon Gibson, that's a huge play. But the problem is you have stopped the clock. Like I said, you've given them a free timeout. And now on third and long, if the Cougars get a stop here and immediately call timeout, they stand to get the ball back with more than a minute and a half left on the clock.
Third and 8. Sam. Ball's on the turf. Marker comes in. And it looks like Miller was able to recover some questionable play calling as Coach Prieto will take a timeout. We'll have to check the marker. It's in the area of a blocking infraction on the interior line. And it looks like the white hat is motioning towards the far sideline. And it will be declined. It will be against the Horns. So you go deep throw, and then you mishandle a jet sweep when you're essentially just trying to run clock. If nothing else, get Coach Prieto to use all his timeouts. And he's still got one remaining. And minute 48 to go in the game.
Yeah, and I don't love either of those calls, Chris, because again, you know, you give them the free stoppage of the clock with the incomplete pass. And then like you said, any jet sweep, anything where you've got to kind of pitch the ball, it lends to the opportunity to bobble it and have what you had there. So just an unfortunate couple of plays for the Horns. Now it's gonna be on Shane Applebaum, the punter, to see if he can pin the Crosby Cougars deep, because if nothing else here, they're 7 points down. You certainly want to make them go the length of the field.
I beg your pardon, that was the Cougars' last timeout, minute 48. But as Jason alluded to, that is not what the doctor ordered there. One of those plays I'm okay with, not both, as you wanted at least the ability to pin them deep. Now Applebaum, who's done a whale of a job tonight, stands at his 44. Another great snap. Applebaum going to hit a knuckler. It's going to land at the 20. Takes a horns bounce where it's going to be contacted by one of the return men. Now it's picked up as it has already touched a horn. Off to the races and beyond the 20 and up to the 27-yard line. Heads up job. I believe that's Imante Wilson back there. Check of the return man's jersey number as we can't see from this vantage point. A minute 31, Branch and Company will take over at their 26-yard line.
Yeah, and like you said, just an alert play by the return man for the Cougars, because once it hits the Longhorn player, it's essentially a free ball. You can pick it up and do whatever you want. Even if you fumble it, it's going to go back to the spot where it was touched by the Longhorn, and if you improve your field position, you get it from there, and that's exactly what he did. He improved their field position by about 15 yards.
First and 10, Brand, straight drop. He's in trouble, but he's never in trouble because he's off to the races. He's got 8, and he'll be marked out of bounds after a gain of 9. I just think the horns need to buzz their feet and just stand in his face. They're running by him time and again. It's like the 8th time they've run right by him. Yeah. Multiple free rushers at him.
Yeah, you almost want to tell them to just hold their ground and stop him after a gain of about 3 or 4 yards and don't go for the sack, because he's escaping every time and getting big chunks.
9 yards. Branch, straight drop. Deep throw. Ball is tipped in the air and incomplete. Beautiful coverage. 41 this time. Right in stride is Bryce Graves. Got his mitts on the football. Nearly an interception as Stephen Woods ranged over from his safety position. The ball falls incomplete, 3rd and 1.
That was a nice play by Bryce Graves on that, to knock that down. The Cougars are still in pretty good shape, though, with 3rd and only 1.
Branch going to roll right, and he's going to avoid the pressure. Throws incomplete. So just like that, we've got ourselves a 4th down after a 9-yard scramble and 2 incompletions. A minute and 8 remains. Can the Horns get off the field here? And essentially they will salt it away if they do. You have to think this is Reggie Branch coming downhill.
Yeah, if this call is anything but a design quarterback draw, I would be shocked. I think he takes one step back and then immediately follows his offensive line to get this done.
4th and short. Branch going to scamper to his left. He's got a 1st down, and he's got plenty more. He's up to the 43-yard line. That's a 6-yard, pretty easy rumble for senior quarterback Reggie Branch. As we said, Danique has done everything, and in reality, Reggie Branch has offensively done everything. Deep throw, right side, coverage is there. Woods drops it. Stephen Woods playing center field, ranging to his left. It was kind of a bang-bang play with Wyatt Jones and the intended target arriving at the same time. That's Imante Wilson. And another missed opportunity on the back end for this Horn secondary.
Yeah, and Stephen Woods going back with a little bit of a hitch in his giddy-up, Chris. So let's keep an eye on that. If he's your deep safety here, you want to be careful that he doesn't pull up on this.
Yeah, and he's somewhat doubled over at the 40. Branch, deep drop. They're going to swing it out. Dunn's got it, and forget it, as he is sure tackled up at the 45-yard line. The best thing about that, folks, is he's in bounds, and the clock is going to continue to crank. 3rd and 8 as we're under 30 seconds. 25 seconds. Branch looks right, throws right. Ball is incomplete as coming up and making the hit was Wyatt Jones. The ball was high. Michael Ray reached up one hand to try and haul it in, but came up empty. And that, folks, with 21.4 seconds remaining, will bring up 4th and 7.
And again, if I'm any of the 11 Horn defenders here, I am keen on Reggie Branch, Chris. I think that, you know, he's going to take the ball and try and get around to the left or the right edge and pick up that 1st down.
4th and 7. A They need the horns, 48. Done. Oh, my goodness. He's got an easy first down. The officials missed a blatant hold. The left tackle tackled our DN 94, David Walker. Just form tackled him. Play side right in front of Branch. No call. And Branch is able to prove.
And now, Chris,
for 43 yards
with 13 seconds. This is essentially probably two shots to the end zone here. We're going to have a chance to see how far Reggie Branch can throw a football, I think, in these next couple of plays.
13.3. Branch, straight drop, four-man rush, swing it, left side. Ball is caught and zipping out of bounds inside the 35. We'll check the spot. 6.2 remaining. It's Imante Wilson. You got one, maybe two plays.
I would call timeout if I was Coach Caballo here. I want to make sure I've got my defense ready here. I've got two timeouts to play here.
Organized and composed. I agree. Coach Caballo has two timeouts in his pocket. 6.2 remaining. Play clock at five. Branch. Great drop.
That's done.
Check it. Done back there. Deep throw. Man is there. The ball is incomplete, and the clock reads triple zero. No flags. And the Horns are going to get their first victory of the night. It comes down to the final play, and the Horns survive. A doozy of a ball game from Guy Kane Trailer Stadium. And the Horns win it 31-24. We'll take a quick break. Jay Ford and I will come back and wrap this one up. Once again, the final. The Horns win it 31-24.
What?
The sacrifice, the dedication, the grit. I mean, they really set an example, don't they?
Oh, well, no question. Today's high school athletes are truly special.
Not the athletes.
Well, who?
The officials.
Oh.
Today's student athletes are truly special. But there's something pretty great about the men and women who officiate their games, too. Like the way they're giving back to their communities. Officiating is a terrific way to stay in shape, meet new people, and stay connected to the game you love. But the biggest reason of all? We need more qualified high school officials here in Texas. And without them, the rest of us would have a whole lot less to cheer about. High school games need officials. High school sports need you.
Great call, Rob!
Yeah!
Interested in becoming a licensed high school official? Go to highschoolofficials.com to learn more and begin the application process.
What's up, George Ranch fans? This is head coach Nick Cavallo here. You can listen to the Longhorns all season long on GRHS iRadio.
And welcome back, and Chris Elliott alongside Jason Ford. We saw ourselves a very good ball game. Wasn't a clean game, but it was clean enough. The Horns go to 1-0. They win the home opener, game number one of the 2020 season. They survive a late Hail Mary. They win it 31-24.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you said, it wasn't pretty. But when you have kind of a sloppy game, a little bit of an ugly game, you can win ugly or you can lose ugly. And every coach will tell you they would much rather win ugly. And I was impressed by what I saw from the offensive line opening up holes for that running game and giving Sam Miller time to throw the football. Javon Gibson looked like Javon Gibson. I mean, just making plays in the passing game. Obviously, the running backs with Drinkard and K.J. White and Davion Jenkins. And on defense, again, we touched on it over and over again. That young secondary did a great job. Yeah, they dropped a couple of interceptions, but if you're dropping – you know, would-be interceptions, that means that you've got good coverage. The defensive line did a good job when they needed to. I mean, look, they gave up some yards on the ground to Reggie Branch, but, Chris, there's a lot of teams that are going to give up a lot of yards to Reggie Branch this season. So.
Yeah, the front seven are going to have nightmares because the back end dropped 3-4 interceptions. The front end missed, like, 8 sacks.
Yeah, yeah, and again, that's just the elusiveness of Reggie Branch. He's just that good, and – but again, you know, they got heat on him, and they're doing their job, just disrupting the timing of the plays. So, look, I mean, again, short preparation because of the COVID situation. You know, these teams came out here, and they were a little rusty, and it was a little sloppy, and there was a lot of penalties and a lot of other things. But at the end of the day, they pulled out the win, and look, you know, you're 1-0, one game into the season, and that's exactly where you want to be.
It was a flurry of offense in the late third and into that fourth quarter as both teams were punch, counterpunch, back and forth. The Horns with the final score of the night. It was really just to extend from a 4-7 point lead. And you felt even then that perhaps the momentum, because it was first and goal from the 3, had swung slightly back towards Crosby. But it's the defense that ultimately comes up with just enough play to salt away the victory.
Yeah, I mean, when they needed a play, they got a play. When they needed a stop, they got a stop. And same way with the offense. I mean, they just kept plugging away. Look, in the first half, Sam Miller and Javon Gibson had a lot of missed connections. In the second half, they started to kind of get that timing down a little bit. And look, we're going to continue to see progress with this group. And I got to believe that Coach Cavallo is really pleased with what he saw out there tonight. I think this is a team that's got a lot of room for growth and a lot of upside. And I'm anxious to see what strides they can make over the next few games.
Yeah, I was very pleased with what I saw from the defense. You know, they missed some opportunities, as we've already hit on, both in the interception and the sack stat column. But as you say, they're getting those opportunities. This is still essentially a preseason game, if you will. First really live action for these kids. We've got some young kids in key positions, so encouraged. And then offensively, when you face a team like this that's effectively smaller than you, let's face it, this is a 5A team and a 6A team. The most success we had tonight offensively was going to that jumbo set and coming downhill.
Absolutely. They really found something in that late third quarter and fourth quarter with that jumbo package. And look, the to me, the biggest thing, Chris, is just the fact that we're out here watching 5A and 6A football. I think there was several times over this summer and even, as you know, up to about maybe a month ago, where we weren't sure if there was going to be a season. So hopefully that'll keep up, and at the end of the day, look, win or lose, I know that both teams are just happy to be out there playing football.
Absolutely, and this is something you build on. These pre-district games are building blocks towards district play. This is a good one to build on. And next week, the Horns take a road trip. We go to Legacy Field and play Katie Taylor, a bit of a step up in competition. So tune in at 6:40 for the pregame there from Legacy Field, the crown jewel of Katie ISD. And tomorrow night, folks, tune in for the LCISD Game of the Week. Again, it's Tom Tarando and Mike Miller. Pregame at 6:45. Right here from Trailer Stadium, it's Lamar the Mustangs versus Foster Falcons. For Tom Tarando, Jason Ford, and the entire Texan Live crew, including Big George, my name is Chris Elliott. Beg your pardon, GRHSI Radio crew. It's preseason for me, too. My name is Chris Elliott, reminding you, it's not goodbye, it's see you later. Good night, everybody.
Always believe.
George Ranch High School football is on the air.
Welcome to our sixth season of live play-by-play coverage of Longhorns football on GRHS iRadio. From the season's opening kickoff to the final whistle of the UIL State Championship, GRHS iRadio brings you every exciting moment of George Ranch varsity football. The Longhorns bring their brand of hard-nosed play into a new district with new opponents this season. But Coach Nick Cavallo and his staff have one goal in mind, winning the 26A district crown and bringing the first UIL 6A football championship trophy back to the ranch. Now, let's go out to the stadium and join Chris Elliott, Jason Ford, and the rest